Michael O'Regan's Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today.
No, Michael, a very good morning to you. Before we go to, I suppose, Micheál Martin coming to Kerry, we're going to play a longer clip than we played at the start of the show of just what went on in Leaders' Questions in the Dáil yesterday. Look, it's no secret to anybody that Leo Varadkar, the Taoiseach, and Piers Doherty, the Sinn Féin finance spokesperson, do not like one another. But the level of venom in yesterday's exchanges was something to behold. Have a listen.
One in three households are now living in energy poverty. So whilst you toasted your own success in government last night, the reality is that many families out there are being pushed to the brinks. And let me tell you this, Taoiseach, the last thing they're thinking about is raising a glass to Fine Gael's success. Your government has repeatedly ruled out measures to support households until October at the earliest. You're allowing struggling households to wither on the vine, and your message to them amounts to buckle up because you're on your own. So, Taoiseach, will you change course? Will the penny finally drop? Will you wake up? Will you take action? Will you understand that people can't wait a further 4 months for you to bring forward a budget, and then whatever time after for you to implement such a budget?
You host dinners in America. You charge people $1,000 a plate to attend, and your party leader flies first class to get there. That's what you do in the middle of a cost of living crisis. And I believe she's about to announce another first class trip to Australia. Which we should be undertaking in the next couple of weeks, where she'll be clinking champagne glasses with the Trinity alumni in Australia and meeting the Australian Business Association. So that's a cheap shot, particularly coming from a hypocritical party like yours, a party that receives millions of donations from vagabonds who live in a caravan, a party that is one of the biggest landlords in the state, and a person who operates his constituency office using public money from some sort of Republican company. So cheap shots, particularly coming from you. The report that we saw from the SRI today is dark. We all know the extent to which petrol and diesel prices have soared in the past year. This is an international problem, but government can't help, and we are helping.
I really thought somebody who in which the DPP is currently assessing whether they'll prosecute you under the Corruption Act, maybe you would be a bit more humble in relation to your response. But this report is a report of shame. You're not a commentator. You're the Taoiseach. You're the leader of a party in government. We need action now.
Deputy, I think that was another cheap shot. And it's particularly strange coming from you, because you were prosecuted. You abused, mistreated a Garda Síochána. For that, you were prosecuted. You were found guilty, but you were actually prosecuted. You were arrested. That's what happened to you. We know what your party's attitude is to rape and paedophiles, and what you've done in relation to that. So your cheap shots say a lot more about you than they do about me.
Of the exchange yesterday, Michael, things got pretty rough between the two of them.
Yeah, Gerry, this was as bitter an exchange in the Dáil, and as personalised as we've witnessed, I would say, in decades. I was talking yesterday to a retired TD, and he thought the same, and he said to me that it was redolent of, on another level, decades ago, when the fallout from the Civil War and the bitterness it engendered might sometimes surface in Dáil exchanges between Fianna Fáil-led government and opposition. And I think he's right. And the stakes are high here, of course, Gerry, politically. Fine Gael is not doing well. Leo is electorally has been a poor leader. The polls are fairly negative. Sinn Féin is on a high. They're beating the populist drum, as Labour did, up to 2011. So from that point of view, this is about political survival on Fine Gael's part. And on Sinn Féin's part, it's about capitalising on their high poll ratings. The interesting thing here, Gerry, is this. The Irish Independent is reporting this morning that Fine Gael has a dossier on members of Sinn Féin. It's entitled Sinn Féin Hypocrisy. Now, Leo's knowledge yesterday of the incident involving Piers Doherty would certainly seem to confirm that.
Yeah, they're worked out. Well, look, in US politics, it's called opposition research, Michael. And I imagine every party has research done on the other parties, preparing to try and, I suppose, battle them in the Dáil, but also when it comes to election time, introduce or remind people of these things, or call out the statements or past actions of party members. How much of it was about I suppose, the base of each party. We have a comment in here from Jimmy from Dublin who says, Leo's speech was magnificent response to Pierce Doherty's accusations yesterday. He told him some home truths, and also don't forget Sinn Féin's involvement, well, the IRA involvement in the murder of Jerry McCabe in Adair. Well done, Leo. That's an example of somebody who is applauding, probably a base member of a solid member of Fine Gael who doesn't like Sinn Féin. On the other side of it, we saw yesterday on social media, there's people on the other side of things excoriating Leo Varadkar for what he said, and you know, applauding Pierce Doherty for pointing out the DPP's investigation, the Garda investigation, and allegations of corruption and insider dealing on the side of the well-gilded elite of Fine Gael. So you're talking about the two, I suppose, polarised natures of people who support either party, Michael. Was it about appealing to those yesterday?
Absolutely. Both sides were appealing to their own supporters. What Leo had to say will have gone down very, very well with individual members of Fine Gael. It will have done them no harm within the party. They will have said, good man, Leo. Similarly in Sinn Féin, members of Sinn Féin, well done, Pierce. So from that point of view, they were playing to their respective political galleries. But I think there's a needle now between Fine Gael and Sinn Féin that's probably greater than we'd say between Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin, although under Micheál Martin, no love lost there.
Yeah.
And I think if you're looking at, look, there's a long way to go yet to a general election. Anything can happen, literally anything. But if you're looking on the basis of the polls at the moment, you couldn't possibly see Fine Gael sharing power with Sinn Féin. Mind you, way back in the midst of time, Gerry, nobody foresaw the PDs led by Des O'Malley sharing power with Fianna Fáil. So
yeah, that's the ultimate example. Exactly. Is there a danger? There was some criticism yesterday of this row that it got in the way of the message. The ISRI report yesterday, the growing threat of energy poverty and the cost of living crisis, and the government coming under pressure this week to do more and do more now rather than waiting till the budget in October.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've no doubt that people outside their respective parties will say, come on, you know, deal with the ESRI report, deal with the cost of living, etc., etc. It's pretty grim. The reason Micheál Martin is not in your studio this morning, Jerry, for an interview, he will do a doorstep, I understand, interview later, but it is that nationally and generally, everything is bad news. While there's good news in the jobs funds in Belize, this was a week with a tsunami of bad news for the economy and for the people. And the cost of living now, number one item on the agenda, people are seeing it every day. They're seeing it in the supermarket. They're seeing it when they pull up at the petrol station for petrol or diesel. Heating costs, and this is summer, by the way.
Yeah.
Wait till the autumn and the winter. And there's growing pressure now on the government from backbenchers in the government parties to do something before the October budget.
Michael, if it gets any worse and if the prices go up any higher, I'll be looking at cycling from Kilmare to Killarney every morning, the way things are going. I'll be on to Eamon Ryan for a grant for a bike, maybe an electric one or something like that.
If they give you an opportunity, Jerry, to observe the wolves,
it's to oversee the reintroduction and make sure it goes okay. Leo Varadkar is a disgrace, says a listener. This was his response to the cost of living crisis and a plea for policy action before the long Dáil break for summer. He'll do anything to distract from a failed policy. Policy should always be the focus of Leinster House. So there you go, that's the other side. And Michael, on that, are we seeing differing messages coming about whether there will be some earlier intervention? Eamon Ryan earlier on suggesting, no, leave it till October, we're working away, we've done a lot already. But Leo Varadkar with a slightly different message this week, is that right?
Absolutely, we're getting very conflicting messages. Eamon Ryan, as you said, ruling out anything being done. Pascal Donoghue, Minister of Finance, who has to watch the figures, effectively ruling it out, certainly, well, not recently, but certainly in the past. It'd be interesting to see what Micheál Martin may have to say now after this week on it, but he was more or less saying as well, look, we have done what we've done, and the October budget will be the next occasion to do something. Leo, I think Leo wants to be popular with people, Jerry. He was also, by the way, under pressure this week at Fine Gael parliamentary party meeting, and I think he didn't want to rule out doing something in advance of the October budget. It'll depend now on a few things. The Dáil has only a few weeks to run. So it'll depend on the level of pressure from backbenchers in the government parties on the government, and whether this will come to that. And also, of course, pressures on individual TDs at their clinics.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. And the summer the TDs are looking forward to, I suppose, to be able to say, look, we are doing X, Y and Z. Did the opposition miss a trick here? The CSRI report came out and it made some recommendations of what could be done or maybe the directions things need to go. And it was critical of any idea of, you know, get rid of fuel excise, scrapping carbon tax, because it said that's not targeted. That helps well-off people as well as poorer people. That this needs to be more targeted specifically whatever is done. The opposition were, all ranks up, were calling for both of those things. Did they miss a trick?
Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, the opposition decided to ignore the detail, the finer points of the ESRI report, which you referred to there. Scrapping carbon tax, for instance. Any measures introduced by the government should be targeted, first of all, to help the least well-off, then the squeezed middle, by the way, very volatile group at general election time, they have to be seen to, and certainly not something that helps the better-off. But you see, the problem for the opposition, Jerry, politically, is that that doesn't sound well in a soundbite. You know, yeah. You get up in the Dáil, you castigate the government, and you say something that's very, very populist, even though there might be no substance to it.
Yeah, yeah, interesting stuff. Michael, the President, Michael D. Higgins, called it our great, great, great failure, our failure to deal with the housing crisis. Did he interject himself into policy matters? Was he critical of the current, perhaps maybe, and the previous government? Did he overstep the mark? As is the suggestion from lots of senior ministers and senior unnamed sources within government?
Well, you see, it depends. Michael D is a cute operator, Jerry, and you know, he's a very experienced. He was a county councillor in Galway. He was a senator. Excuse me. He was a TD. He was a minister, and he's now in an office that's essentially symbolic, essentially ceremonial. It has some powers. They're very limited. Most of it is about drinking tea and going around the country to events. Now, not knocking that, by the way, but and it depends again with Michael D how you interpret it. Now, you could interpret it this way. You could say there's a serious, serious housing crisis in this country on a catastrophic scale, and that it's the duty of the president to reflect what's going on in the country. So from that point of view, these comments were justified. On the other hand, people would say there's an implied criticism of governments in this, which there was. By the way, governments involving his own party, Labour, in the past, they're not, you know, any party that served in government, the implication is that they failed. Where he did stray into very, very difficult terrain was when he referred to the county managers.
Yeah, and the directors of services, they need to have a good, long, hard look at what's going on in Kildare and Wicklow and ask themselves why they aren't doing similar in their own counties.
That's right. He departed there into the specific, whereas in the early part of his speech was, and it was off script, the early part of it, he was speaking in very general terms about the housing crisis. But I think what we can expect from Michael D, Jerry, is this, and we've seen it in the past. He's going to push the parameters of the office a little. And he's going to, in the view of some people, not everybody, stray into areas outside the remit of the presidency. But he's going to do it in such a vague and generalised way that he's going to protect himself. Because at the end of the day, it becomes a matter of interpretation.
Yeah, yeah. And that's
I do think, by the way, Jerry, there's a lot in what Senator Ned O'Sullivan said about having a look at the constitutional role of the president in that. Not necessarily because of Michael D, but down the road, you could have somebody elected to the office who mightn't be that au fait with the constitutional remit and all that kind of thing, who might be put in there because of an anti-political swing on the part of the electorate at a given time. So there is need for clarity.
Yeah, and was it not though a little bit about clipping the president's wings or firing a shot across his bow? Ned, not a fan of Michael Dee's political utterances, economic leanings as well, ever since he became president, really. So he was the one who said, look, we need a control on this, we need a liaison office, we need a constitutional committee. Was he not sending a signal to the Phoenix Park?
Well, I think he was. But Ned O'Sullivan is an unusual politician, an unusual member of the Oireachtas jury, in that he actually has views on things. He says what he thinks. He's outspoken. He's courageous. He's not just sitting down there warming a seat and drawing a pretty handsome salary. And long may he continue in that role. Now, not everybody would agree with him. I was astounded. I think it was just garbled language. When Leo Varadkar suggested it during the week that the president generally was above criticism. Now, there is a separation of powers between the presidency and the executive, so you can't have the thing debated and the thought. There is nothing to stop any politician or any public figure, Senator Ned O'Sullivan or anybody else, or even a minister, outside of Dáil Éireann, making some, giving their opinion on what the president has to say on this. So from that point of view, I think if we had a few more members of the Oireachtas like Ned O'Sullivan, who actually have views and things and speak their mind and do it quite courageously, we'd be a lot better off.
Michael, a Killarney listener gets in touch and says, Jerry and Michael, would you not agree that Leo and Pierce are sounding like a divorced couple and we are the children who are suffering?
I think that's excellent, actually. They are a divorced couple, Jerry. And they're now fighting over the assets being, of course, access to government buildings, ministries, being in government, cars and drivers, etc., etc. And that, at its core, is what the row is about. But I do think one thing. I think they should go for mediation.
Well, let's hope, Michael. I wonder, will Micheál Martin be involved in that mediation? The Taoiseach is in Tralee and in Killarney today. He's announcing that very welcome announcement of 280 jobs for Tralee. He'll be in Killarney meeting with his local councillors, doing a bit of a walkthrough of Killarney town, I'm to understand. I'm not sure if he'll have any bottles of Oireachtas wine with him to hand out to the public in Kerry or in Killarney, but he'll certainly have his ear bent by a number of councillors, particularly whenever it does happen with regards to the next election and who will be on the Fianna Fáil ticket, and will they get a second seat perhaps?
Absolutely. There's a political when a minister or a Taoiseach comes to outside of Dublin, there's always a political dimension to it. And of course, Jerry, we welcome Micheál Martin, a Corkman, to Kerry. Cork people are always welcome in Kerry, and they learn a lot from their visit. But it's the political challenge for Fianna Fáil, of course, at the next election will be to win that, assuming it's still a five-seater, by the way.
And it might be, and it may well be, a two-constituency again, Kerry South, Kerry North, six-seater, if the numbers go a certain way. So that's all to play for, yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we're talking in one sense in a vacuum. And the idea, of course, is take out one of the Healy Rays. Now, that won't be easily done, but in terms of organisation and party headquarters, Fianna Fáil will have to get its act together in terms of candidate strategy. It'll be interesting to see what they do. But imagine it, Jerry, had things... I was just thinking this morning of Micheál Martin's visit to Kerry and his walkabout in Killarney there. Imagine had things been different in 1997 and Fianna Fáil headquarters, according to Jackie Healy-Ray at the time, a man with a top coat and party headquarters, kept him off the ticket. Now, had he been added to the ticket and events would have been different, there's every chance today that Micheál Martin would be walking down the streets in Killarney in a five-seat constituency with two Fianna Fáil TDs and a young fellow called Michael Healy-Ray, Minister for maybe Agriculture or Rural Affairs of Fianna Fáil. But what happened in 1997 continues to cast a long shadow.
It certainly does, Michael. Michael, how many cases of Oireachtas wine will you be ordering this Christmas time? I hope you'll send a case our direction.
I certainly will, Jerry. This is interesting. The Oireachtas, now this is a commercial decision, by the way. Lest people think there's public money being flogged on wine. They're going to spend €300,000 on buying wine over the next few years to sell in the Dáil restaurants and bars, and I presume TDs can buy it and all that kind of thing. €300,000. Now this sounds like a good idea. They've done so in the past, and it's been very successful. Now, Jerry, I want you to help the Oireachtas here in this, and our listeners to help the Oireachtas. The kind of wine they're looking for, it, and I know you're a bit of a connoisseur, as many of our listeners are. They're looking for a wine that's young, fruity, and dry. Do you know, that sounds like a description of an earnest young government backbencher aspiring to a ministerial office. But anyway.
Well, Charlie Haughey apparently once ordered a bottle of Chateau Rosanne Seguela Margaux 1971, delivered from Bagot's Wine Merchants in Dublin, at a cost of £89.65 in old money. It's equivalent to €336 in 2011. So maybe they're going for a few bottles of that, Michael, and putting an Oireachtas stamp in it.
They may be. I wonder if there's anything left in the cellar in Inishbeckalon. You see, these bottles of wine, Jerry, will have an Oireachtas label on them. Now, they did this before. I remember several years ago buying a few bottles of wine for Christmas presents. And one of my friends, who was so interested in politics, when he had consumed the wine, he kept the bottle. He still has the bottle today. But anyway, because of the Oireachtas label on it, that made it, I suppose, different or whatever. I don't know, Jerry, by the way, if the wine is going to include, you know, that very exotic stuff that Charlie Haughey used to drink, a French wine. Now, I never try to pronounce it on radio because I just can't get my tongue around it, right? But Bertie Ahern decided he'd pronounce it, he'd talk about it one time. He was trying to distance himself from Haughey, and he said, this is years ago, he says, I never drank the Lynch's Barges. And by the way, he says, I wouldn't know a Charvet shirt if I saw one.
By the way, that stuff's retailing for around €229 a bottle at the moment. Maybe not as expensive in the Oireachtas. Michael, we'll leave it there. Thanks a million. That's Michael O'Regan with Call from the Dáil. Lots more on the way on Kerry today after we take these.